I was camping for 5 days alone in a lesser-known national forest in southeast Utah. I was a very frequent camper, and while I'd never been to this exact spot, I had camped in areas around there before. The first 3 days were pretty standard. No one else showed up, and I spent the days hanging around the campsite, reading, cooking, and walking around. On the third night, I had a nice, calm campfire going, and was trying to stargaze, because the sky was clear. When, all of a sudden, the silence was interrupted. It sounded like a man screaming at the top of his lungs in the distance. It sent a chill through me and made me freeze up for a moment, before standing and looking in the direction it came from. But it was way too dark out to see anything beyond the campfire. The scream sounded far away, but not far away enough to feel safe about it. Like it was maybe a half mile out in the forest, kind of toward where I knew the small lake was that was around here. The strangest thing about it, though, was that that was it. It was just that one scream. It remained silent for the rest of the night. Before going to sleep, I came to the conclusion that it had to be a mountain lion. If you didn't know, mountain lions can sometimes make these disturbing screeching sounds at night that often mimic that of human screams. Not exactly, but if you don't listen too carefully, you might mistake it for one. Figuring, since I'd only heard it once, and couldn't really confirm what I'd heard, that's what it had to be. Although, in the back of my head, I knew it sounded different. I'm pretty sure I was just coping to make myself feel better and not get too unnerved. I fell asleep and slept through the night without any disturbances. When I got up, I hung around the campsite for a little bit, before deciding to go for a walk. By then, I'd fully convinced myself there was no real danger to whatever I heard last night, so I thought I'd walk to the lake to see if I could figure out what it was. Maybe find some mountain lion paw prints or something. Almost right when I got there, I could clearly see something had disrupted the sand on the other side of the lake. I walked around the border. In the sand was a bunch of random stuff scattered all over. Bags, food wrappers, and just a bunch of junk. Everything was oddly in almost a perfect line, though, following this hollow divot in the sand, like something had been dragged through the sand and the loose items fell out. And this dragging streak ended right up at the edge of the water. I looked out at the lake, knowing there was no way I'd see anything. The water was calm and still, no ripples or waves. It gave me an eerie, uneasy feeling. I left and walked quickly back to my campsite, nervously checking my surroundings the whole way back. I felt better, or safer, I guess, once I was back near my tent. I really didn't know what to make of everything, but in my head, I thought it was best not to think about it too hard and risk getting paranoid. That would only make things worse. So I distracted myself with making lunch and thinking about other things. I refueled the campfire before it got dark and sat around it. About an hour into the night, though, I realized I had forgotten to collect a stash of sticks to keep the fire going with. So I got up and walked the perimeter of my campsite, grabbing any small, dry sticks off the ground. And that's when I heard a voice. A quiet whisper from the dark just ahead of me. I didn't have a flashlight on me, and it was pitch dark out there. And the voice was quick and quiet, not long enough for me to know exactly where it came from or even what they said. It didn't feel like they were talking to me, though. I got a little spooked and ran back to the campfire. As the minutes passed, I tried to reason with myself that it couldn't have been a person, that the wind had just made a strange whisper-like sound. But when I remember the scream from last night, I could no longer convince myself, with all of these excuses, that I was safe. Someone was out there, watching my campsite. I stayed outside by the fire for another hour, trying to think over my options of what to do. Although, really, there were only two real options. Stay and hope whoever is out there leaves me alone until morning, or leave in the middle of the night. At the time, leaving in the middle of the night seemed like a worse idea, allowing the person to follow or get close to me without me being able to see them, and leaving myself completely vulnerable. So if they really did have bad intentions, I'd only be helping them by walking out into the dark. But when I went out to collect sticks earlier, I didn't get enough to last before hearing the whisper and running back. And now the fire was getting lower. I got up and walked to the edge of the light, beginning to reach down and get more sticks. I got maybe another hour worth of wood before I heard that voice again. This time, I had been smart enough to bring my flashlight with me, so I quickly shined it in the direction of the voice. It was very underwhelming, though. The light was almost useless, not reaching far and not brightening the area as much as I thought it would. After a few seconds, I got scared again and ran back to the campfire. I tossed the sticks in the fire and made sure it stayed lit. The nerves kept building. I was genuinely fearing for my life and trying to keep it together. I mean, by this point, I'd put together the scream, the scattered items, and the drag marks by the lake, and now the voices outside of my camp. I got increasingly tired, but I didn't let my eyes rest for even a moment. I stayed up, and every hour I had to walk the border and get more wood for the campfire. And almost every time, I'd hear voices out in the dark. I counted three or four distinct voices, softly whispering back and forth, like they were alerting each other of what I was doing. It was very unsettling. The last 2 hours of the night, though, when I went out, I didn't hear anything. And finally, when the sun came up, and I could see, no one was out there. I packed and hurried down the trail. The trail went in the same general direction as where the voices came from, so I stayed alert. And I found several scattered footprints in the dirt around the area, but I have no way to know if it was from the people I was hearing last night, or if it was from the man I'd heard screaming, or even just other hikers from previous days. I made it out, and honestly, I don't have any answers for what was happening in those woods. I never heard of any news or missing people since then. I couldn't find any publicly available connections to what I'd experienced. This was about a year ago, on my first time camping not at a designated tent campground. I still considered myself a fairly experienced camper, because I did everything any other camper would do. The only difference is I didn't have to hike out to anywhere, and there would usually be a lot more people around. Some people would have their whole elaborate campsite set up, with tables and everything, but I always kept it minimal. Eventually, I got the urge to go camp somewhere on my own, not around a ton of people, and get to experience more of the quiet nature side of camping. The trail I chose was 2 hours long. There weren't too many pictures, but I thought it seemed good enough. I started the hike a few hours after the sun came up in the morning. The parking lot was empty, though it wasn't much of a parking lot at all. More like a small dirt area off the road. Everything went well for the first little bit. It was honestly just a regular hike into the woods. But about 30 minutes into the hike, I saw a man on the trail ahead of me. He was far down, moving through the trees, but after just a minute, I'd basically caught up to him. This guy was walking incredibly slow. I'm not trying to say that in a mean way, but more so like the guy was purposefully walking astronomically slow. Usually, I wouldn't want to pass anyone going in the same direction, and would instead just take a breather and walk slower myself to let them get further ahead. But he was going so slow that I kinda had no choice but to pass him. I casually said hello as I started to walk around him, but when I got next to him, he suddenly started walking at a normal pace, matching my speed and asking me how my day was going. I looked over, really confused at first, at how weird this was, but then the guy reached out his hand for a handshake and said his name was Oscar. I shook his hand, and we started a conversation. I wasn't opposed to talking to anyone, but it was just the way in which it started that made me feel off about the whole thing, at least at first. Once we were talking, though, Oscar seemed like a normal, chill guy. We talked for the next 30 minutes. I noticed he didn't have a backpack and asked why, and he said he was actually already set up and was just going for a walk at the moment. He said he had made his campsite in the trees, a little ways past the technical spot for camping, where I was headed. And at some point I mentioned that I was newish to this type of camping. Oscar said he'd been to this place a bunch of times, and that it was perfect for a newcomer, and if I wanted, I could come by his campsite later and have dinner around his campfire. I agreed, thinking it'd be cool and could be a great way to make a new camping friend. When we got to the campground, I started setting up my stuff, and Oscar continued walking into the trees to his campsite. I couldn't see it from where I was set up at, but I assumed it was just a few minutes further into the forest. The rest of the day, about 5 or 6 hours, I was alone at the campground enjoying the quiet forest. No signs of Oscar or any other campers or hikers coming up to the campground. It wasn't until the sun started going down that Oscar came out of the trees and walked up to my camp area. He asked me how everything was going and we talked for a few minutes. Then he asked if I wanted to come chill at his campfire and have something to eat. I said sure and followed him away from my tent and into the trees. I did have a feeling in the back of my head that this was a bit strange, knowing I'd just met this guy and was now following him deeper into the forest, but I felt like I would have been able to read if he was a weird guy. Aside from the slow walking situation, he didn't seem weird at all. I walked behind him for about 5 minutes, getting much deeper into the woods than I was expecting, before I could see his campfire glowing through the trees. We went up to it, and something immediately put me off. Oscar wasn't alone. There were two other guys sitting at the campsite around the fire. He had never mentioned them. Not that I had asked, but I thought it was really weird he never brought it up, especially after inviting me over. They all greeted me though, and now I was already too far in to bring it up or to leave without making things uncomfortable. So I sat down next to all of them. The men weren't cooking anything fancy, just some packets of ramen, boiling the water over the fire. The first few minutes were fine. We all just talked, you know, the casual small talk. But after that, things got quiet. Oscar was the one boiling the water and cooking the ramen, and the rest of us were just sitting there. The forest also had gotten quiet, and dark as well. It was like the forest was telling me something was wrong. Every time I would look up at the men, their eyes would shift away from me, like I'd caught them watching.
"Hey, I'm gonna head back to my camp to grab something from my bag. Save me a bowl though, I'll be right back."
I said it in the most casual way possible, to not make it too obvious I was trying to leave and not come back. Oscar didn't even look up. He just continued poking the fire and boiling the water like I hadn't said anything. The other two men didn't say a word either. They just looked at me. After a very uncomfortable, tense few seconds, I turned around and started to walk away. I only made it a few steps before the eerie silence was interrupted by the men shifting behind me. I looked back over my shoulder. The two men were now standing, looking right at me. Oscar still didn't look up. I didn't look for too long before continuing to walk away. The next minute, as I was walking further away, I had this horrible, dreadful feeling lurking behind me, and I wanted to look, but I was scared. Once I got far enough, the feeling was too much for me to handle, and I finally did turn around again. I was far from their campsite now, but the fire glowing through the forest was still visible, and I could see the logs we were sitting on. But all three men were gone. I made a dead sprint back to the campground where my tent was. When I made it, I started to take everything down, but the paranoia of not knowing where the men went and possibly being out in the dark somewhere, jumping out at any minute, made me abandon the campsite and just run. I followed the trail, not stopping until I got all the way back to where I'd parked. As I drove out, I called the police. I had no real evidence to prove the men were up to something, but I still wanted the police to investigate. They drove down to the trail, and while they didn't go down to the campsite, the officers did confirm no other cars were parked anywhere. Those men had not driven there, and there was no way to know how long they were out there for. I can't say exactly what those men intended, but I think when everything is put all together, to me, it's clear that something really awful was planned for me that night. This was around 2015. I had a young, very active retriever mix named Sammy. We did tons of camping and road trips together. This trip wasn't one of our bigger ones, though. It was to a forest just an hour away at a campsite I'd been to a lot. It was my comfort spot, where me and Sammy could go to just be alone and relax without needing to drive very far or do too much planning ahead. We left in the morning and got to the campsite around 2 p.m. As soon as we were set up and ready to relax, I quickly noticed Sammy was acting different. She was very familiar with this spot and was always excited and energetic when we got there. But for some reason, she wasn't this time. She looked on edge, like she could sense something nearby. I looked around and saw nothing. The forest was quiet and completely dead. A good 30 minutes went by before she suddenly relaxed a little and went back to being her typical self, running around and just having a good time being a dog. One thing about Sammy is she has always been extremely protective, so I assumed she might have smelled or heard an animal nearby and went into guard mode. Anyway, I made us some food and we hung around doing nothing for a few hours. Sammy went exploring a little bit and played with sticks while I built a campfire and rested. When the sun got lower, I stocked up on firewood and got the fire going a bit heavier to lighten up the area. Everything was very quiet and calm. Sammy was laying right next to me, and we were both watching the fire, when I heard something ahead of us. I looked up, barely seeing something shift near the trees, and suddenly Sammy completely lost control and bolted toward it, barking and growling. I jumped up and yelled at her, but she was dead set on chasing them. I ran after her. The sun wasn't fully down yet, but shadows covered everything and made it very difficult to navigate or see anything really well. After just a few seconds, I could hardly see her. And after 30 seconds, her barks started to fade out. And within a minute, she was gone. I barely had any time to even process what happened. I didn't know what it was that I saw, whether it was a person or an animal, or something else. I kept running in the direction she went, though, hoping she'd lose focus on whatever or whoever it was she was chasing. I was confident she could navigate her way back to me just through my scent, but I was more scared of her actually catching up to something she couldn't handle. And my concern grew as the minutes passed by, and the forest grew even darker and quieter. The sun was basically fully set now, and I didn't have a chance to grab anything when I chased after her. So I had to make the difficult decision to go back to the camp before I got myself lost, and to grab a flashlight and do this the smart way. I really hoped she would just run back, but I also couldn't just sit there and anxiously wait for her, knowing she could be in trouble. I got a light and retraced my steps back into the forest. I called out her name over and over, hearing my voice echo through the trees. I never even heard the slightest bark. I was out there for over an hour. I didn't venture too far from the camp, staying within a mile in the area that I was familiar with, enough to be confident that I wouldn't get lost. And then my light picked up something small on the ground, reflecting back at me. I walked up closer. It was Sammy's dog tag on her collar, laying in the grass. It looked like it had been ripped off of her. Of course, I quickly began thinking the worst, but just a moment later, I moved my light around the area and found Sammy laying down near a tree. She was alive and okay, but shaking and terrified. She wouldn't even move. I had to pick her up and carry her the first quarter mile before she was even willing to walk. Something happened out there, and I was terrified to find out what. I was just thankful she was alive and okay. And the plan was, as soon as we got back to the camp, to pack everything up and leave right in the middle of the night, for both of our safeties. Sammy walked close up next to me, as we navigated through the dark and finally could see the fire between all the trees. But when we got closer, it was apparent that something was very wrong. The campsite was ransacked. Tent ripped up and destroyed, and my backpack emptied with all its contents thrown across the site. I shined my light around and didn't see anything, but I was horrified. I quickly gathered up what I could from the ground and threw it back into my bag. I only managed to get maybe half of what was around before I noticed Sammy staring into the dark trees, eyes locked on something. I left the rest of the stuff and hurried away from there. The walk back to the truck was a bit over an hour. Sammy stayed quiet and timid alongside me the whole way, and I don't think we were followed, but considering how well hidden whoever was out there was, it's hard to know for sure. We got back to the truck and went back home, and avoided that campsite in the years following. Sammy got better after just a few days, and she actually wasn't injured or harmed physically in any way. So the way her collar was ripped from her still has me really confused. I mentioned this happened back in 2015, so Sammy actually passed away a couple of years ago. In the grief, I guess I wanted to go back to that campsite for answers or comfort or whatever. Nothing happened, and I didn't find anything. So what really happened on that night is still entirely unknown.